Today is the first day of September. Wow. First day of a brand new shiny sparkly month. We're just kind of getting into this brand new shiny sparkly week. And here we go forward into a brand new month. Today is the 244th day of our year. And as we begin a month, we will end a book. We have been journeying through the valley part of the scriptures. Not that there aren't plenty of valleys to go through as we read the histories, but we're kind of in our own treatise on suffering and looking at our own suffering and anxiety and trauma and depression and loss and grief as we navigate the book of Job. And if we'll remember right, it's a pretty clear story. Job's life falls completely apart, and he experiences trauma after trauma after trauma, creating complex PTSD. And he describes it, and the way that it's described is exactly that: complex trauma, overwhelming trauma, sleep disturbances, flashbacks, anguish, anxiety, reliving events, hoping for it to end, even if it takes death to end it, like all these things. Deep, deep trauma. And he loses a lot of weight. That's pretty common in trauma. He's emaciated. Everyone has abandoned him, including his wife, who tells him to curse God and die. Which, man, that is kicking a guy when he's down. And yeah, everything has fallen apart for Job. He's got some good friends, and they come. They can't even recognize him. They sit Shiva with him, and then they start talking. And that is the bulk of Job. The conversation between Job and his friends, which turns from comfort and understanding, and Job pouring out his heart of anguish, to questioning, to gentle correction, to existential arguments. As his friends tell him the kind of things that we would tell people. But Job isn't looking for that. That all falls flat. He's not looking for that. He will hold on to his integrity to his grave. They will not convince him that he is blameless and innocent in this judgment. He will hold on to his integrity in that if it kills him, but he will hold on to God if it kills him. He needs to find God. He needs understanding from God. And God shows up, and instead of answering Job's questions, he asks questions. And instead of giving Job understanding, he reveals himself. And that is where we are now. God is speaking as we draw Job to a close today with Job chapters 40 through 42. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at all who are proud and bring them low. Look at all who are proud and humble them. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze, its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God, yet its maker can approach it with his sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants it lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal it in their shadow. The poplars by the stream surround it. A raging river does not alarm it. It is secure, though the Jordan should surge against its mouth. Can anyone capture it by the eyes, or trap it and pierce its nose? Can you pull in Leviathan with a fishhook, or tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you for you to take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of it like a bird, or put it on a leash for the young women in your house? Will traders barter for it? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you fill its hide with harpoons, or its head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on it, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing it is false. The mere sight of it is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. Its breath sets coals ablaze, and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. The folds of its flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. Its chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron it treats like straw, and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make it flee. Sling stones are like chaff to it. A club seems to it but a piece of straw. It laughs at the rattling of the lance. Its undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. It makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is its equal. A creature without fear. It looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely, I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, because you have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has. So now, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former parts. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Kadziah, and the third Keren Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the 4th generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. Second Corinthians 5:11-21. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Psalm 45. For the director of music, to the tune of Lilies of the Sons of Korah, a Maskil, a wedding song. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously. In the cause of truth, humility, and justice, let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia, from palaces adorned with ivory. The music of the strings makes you glad. Daughters of kings are among your honored women. At your right hand is the royal bride in gold of Ophir. Listen, daughter, and pay careful attention. Forget your people and your father's house. Let the king be enthralled by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The city of Tyre will come with a gift. People of wealth will seek your favor. All glorious is the princess within her chamber. Her gown is interwoven with gold. In embroidered garments, she is led to the king. Her virgin companions follow her. Those brought to be with her. Led in with joy and gladness, they enter the palace of the king. Your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. Proverbs 22:14. The mouth of an adulterous woman is a deep pit. A man who is under the Lord's wrath falls into it. All right, so a humbling conclusion to the book of Job. Although all of the answers are not given, and all of the explanations are not offered. I mean, throughout all of Job, we heard Job, and for that matter, all of his friends, telling everything that they thought that they knew about God. And we heard his friends tell Job all that they not only thought that they knew about God, but all that they thought that they knew about Job. And then in the end, God gave Job what he was crying out for, which was presence, an audience. And the overwhelming presence of God, like this whirlwind, God shows up in this powerful, visual, felt display. He can just visualize it as we read through it. Do you want to argue with the Almighty? Who is this that questions me? You're my critic? Do you have the answers? So for all the words that are spoken about God in Job, and there are many words spoken about God in Job from all angles, and all of the defenses and all of the accusations that Job plans to present to the Lord as he presents his own case in his own defense, if he can find God, the actual conversation when it actually happened turned out to be way different than what Job said it was going to be or than what Job expected it to be. God shows up in this whirlwind, not with answers, but with questions. And they're unanswerable questions. And he asks them of Job, who cannot answer them. Which, I mean, that's a literary device there for us to understand some of how to work through suffering. Because there isn't going to be one answer. There will be so many different facets that led up to what happened that could make us feel trauma or feel like Job in some sort of way. So it became pretty clear to Job as these questions are coming at him that all that Job thought that he knew about God actually added up to pretty much nothing. And what he thought he needed to say to God and all of the things that he cried out to his friends that he was going to say to God, they didn't seem to need to be said anymore once he was actually in the presence of God. Another thing to pay close attention to as we suffer, because we can prepare all of these thoughts and say all of these things, but if we actually experience the presence of God, then we find ourselves often, like Job, humbled. So when we're crying out to God, we're typically like God coming with an expectation that he will make it all go away, that he will make the pain stop. Job forces us to ask the question, what if he doesn't? Which really can get us twisted up because of our expectations of the relationship. What if he doesn't? What if there is a lot more going on that led to this on so many different levels beyond even our capability of understanding or being aware of? Usually, if that quick fix doesn't come with that first or second prayer, then we find ourselves in the position of Job, where we are subtly and then overtly becoming the judge of God. And the underlying unease, the underlying question is he good? Is he really Is he actually trustworthy? But when we've put ourselves in the position to make that kind of a judgment, we're making that kind of a judgment against the Almighty God. We may have all kinds of questions, wanting to understand how things came to be the way that they did from other human beings, especially those we trusted who are close to us, to piece together a narrative. But when we turn toward God with judgment against the Almighty, then the truth is we can do that. And I have done that. But the truth is, when we do that, we have no idea what we are even talking about. For us to assume that we have the knowledge of God to the point that we can judge is a very difficult position. We are not capable of holding on to that kind of information. And the only way we will ever actually have that kind of information and be informed enough is to know Him, to remain in His presence as His child, not as His accuser. Who is the accuser in the story of Job? Right? Who is the accuser? We don't want that to be us in the presence of God doing that kind of work against God. And so with all of the back and forth of Job and his friends and all of the existential angst in it all, in the end, all that Job had planned to say becomes unnecessary, and what he does say is riveting. I had only heard about you before. Now, I have seen you with my own eyes, and I take back everything I said. And I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. That is spellbinding. That is convicting. I can relate to that in my life. I can totally appreciate what Job is saying. We all should be able to, if we have come to the end of our pride, at least in this area, at least as it relates to what we assume we do and do not know about what God will and will not do. So Job has taken us on this journey intentionally. That's why it's in the Bible. It touches these deep issues of tremendous trauma, anxiety, depression, grief, anguish in heart and soul and body, as it's intended to do. That's why it's here. The kinds of things, as much as we hate it, the kinds of things that can only ever be understood or accessed through pain, through suffering. So obviously, if that's not you, you've never suffered in any way, like nothing's ever really gone wrong, and so you have no suffering, then clearly Job makes no sense whatsoever. But I don't think that's any of us. I would wager. Not much of a betting man, but I would bet on that one. We all, to some degree, understand what we're talking about here. And maybe understanding the way that Job landed for himself, the way that this book brings it in, and the conclusions that are brought forth, the quicker that we can understand those, the quicker that we can find this place that we're looking for, this place of presence, this place of safety in the midst of absolute collapse. Because that's what we're looking for. That's what Job was looking for. He went in pursuit of understanding, and he could get that from people. But what he needed from God wasn't the answers, it was his presence. Because what Job said is, in his presence, he realized that there are things that are too wonderful for him to comprehend, right? Too big. The story is too big. So we can get the clarity and understanding and piecing together of a narrative among those who have hurt us, or those we have hurt, or situations that have traumatized us. But what we need from God is presence. And so, Father, it is your presence that we seek. Job has brought us into this place, and whether we're in anguish right now, or that's something that we're getting over, or that's in the past, it coming into Job brings these things back up. The traumas of our lives, the sting may eventually go away and scar over, but we're never, ever, ever going to forget. And so these things are brought to the surface for another pass at healing. And what we get out of Job is your presence is what we seek. Your presence is what we need. And your presence is available. So, Holy Spirit, come and lead us into the presence of the Father, Comforter. We open ourselves. Open. 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 We are open. We surrender. We surrender. We open ourselves to you and your presence in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are both home base. One you can find on the internet, on the web. One in the app store that works with your device. So be connected and stay connected to the journey that we are on. So I've been mentioning for a couple days now, tomorrow Jill and I are coming back, doing a little more sharing as we move through the 20th year of being in ministry here at Daily Audio Bible. And just continuing to celebrate our 20th year, something new, something exciting, something we haven't done. And we'll be talking about that tomorrow, so make sure you are here, staying tuned, and listen in. Thank you for letting us share our story and become a little bit more than just these voices. And just thank you for letting us share our lives. Thank you for letting us have community and be a part of a community that's been built here over these years, a safe and beautiful place to be. So I'm deeply grateful. Thank you. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible here in this brand new month, thank you. We could not possibly, truly possibly, be here if we were not in this together. So thank you, humbly, for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877 942 4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, this is Edith from Idaho, and I'm calling for Victoria's Victoria. And I just wanted to say that God loves you and He is with you. I want to pray for you now. Lord God, I thank you for Victoria. I just pray that you would touch her today. I ask that you would encourage her, Lord. Help her to know that you are with her, that you want to give her your peace, that you want to give her your joy regarding this new little baby that's coming in the next few months. I ask, Lord, that any kind of darts that are being thrown her way from the enemy would be cut down in the name of Jesus, that she would hold up her shield of faith, that you would minimize all the frustrations and things that are going on in her life. I pray for her children, that they would do well during this time, Lord, that you would give them your peace and joy and comfort. Please help her husband to help her a lot. Help her to know that just because she's feeling that way now, that she will not always be feeling the way she is now. So I just praise you, Lord, that you are a good father and that you are with Victoria and that you're going to help her through this time and she will get to the other side of this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Victoria, I have 9 children and I know that I felt the way you do many times, but God helped me through it. So God bless you.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Wetumpka with the Trinity Stone. I wanted to put a prayer request out there for my brother, Christopher. He has cancer on his right side. It's under his armpit and on his right breast. It's actually breast cancer. Males can get breast cancer. So he is going in for chemo. He found out today. He got his results back today. He did a CT scan recently. They were checking and finding out if it was in any other parts of his body, and it was not in any other organs or anything like that, so that's a praise report. But he still needs to be covered up in prayer. He did find out it was stage 3. He thought to begin with it was stage 1 or stage 2. He found out it was stage 3, so that's a little bit of bad news. But he is going to start chemo next week. I'm actually going up there to hang out with him that day. Anyway, we just need to cover him up with prayer. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Talk to you guys later. Love y'all. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Susie from Colorado. I just listened to August 23rd prayers. I'm running a little late, but CC from PA and Aussie Bear from Australia, I heard you. I imagine that everybody on this prayer line heard you, and I stopped what I was doing and prayed for both of you. And I hear that you're dealing with profound loneliness, and it sounds like, in CC's case, just unfathomable anxiety and depression, that you're crying out to the Lord. And I wanted you both to know something that came to my mind, that a thought that just was clear as a bell. I feel like God wants you to hear this. You are the only one in the whole world, that God thinks about when He hears your name. And right now, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I bind and ask that every demonic or evil spirit would be bound, paralyzed, rendered inoperable, especially those demons of self-hatred, demons of depression. I've been there to the point where I've screamed in my backyard in misery that I just thought that it couldn't be broken from me, but it can be. And I'm sure that everybody's praying for you. Please don't stop listening to our crying out for you, because we do really love this family and we love you.
Hey, this is Chastity from Kansas. I wanted to call and ask for prayer for my sister. her and her husband have been struggling with infertility for, I think, about 5 years now. And they, just had an appointment today, August 26th, and, they found out that, the doctor is pretty sure that their only option is going to pretty much be IVF. I just tried talking to her about it, just because I don't know much, and I wanted to just ask her if she's prayed, if this is the right option, and her response was just like, she said, "I'm mad at God." She said, "I've begged him, and I've prayed, and I've cried, and I'm just tired." She's just, I think she's just at such a low point, and it hurts my heart to see her this way, to see her just longing to be a mom. And it's the one thing that hasn't happened. She's in school for her master's program in substance abuse counseling, and she's doing amazing. But in this area, she's struggling so bad. So can y'all just please pray with me that she won't lose her faith and she won't turn her back on God? And that by his miracle, if it's his will, they will conceive a child or adopt or whatever that looks like in his will for them.
Hi, this is Chastity from Kansas. I wanted to call for the sweet mama who called in. You said that you and your husband just found out that you are pregnant with your fourth baby. I want to say congratulations. I know you said that you are feeling just really not very excited right now and just kind of overwhelmed. So I just want to tell you I will be praying for you and just to encourage you. I hope that this encourages your heart to remember that God chose you to be this baby's mama for a reason. I think a lot of days we as moms feel like we let our kids down more than we want to. I know I feel that way pretty much daily. But you're doing amazing. You're showing up. You're being there for your kids. So I will be in prayer for you. I also want to ask for prayer for my family and I as we are going through some transitions. My husband is starting a new job in a couple of weeks. So prayers for that goes well. And then I started working at our local school as a paraprofessional. We have a child. Our son is autistic. He's getting his words, but he's not a super fluent yet in his words. So that's challenging. But I'm also going back to school for special education. So I just want to ask for prayer that I will not get overwhelmed. I genuinely, yesterday, August 25th, was my first day of work, and it felt right. It felt like I'm supposed to be here. It filled my heart. So please pray that that continues and that I don't get overwhelmed with all of the responsibilities. Thank you.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Daughter of Hope in Colorado. And I'm just kind of struggling with the spiritual warfare that's going on in my house. My daughter is, she's really young, but she's having thoughts of, being attracted to the same sex. And so it's just hard as a mama to know what to say, to the guide. So I just wanted to pray over this for all of our kids. Oh, Abba Father, I just surrender this to you. Anyone out there, I pray for a great revival and a great awakening of those struggling with homosexuality. I just pray that you just reach into everybody that's struggling and you give them wisdom. You give them discernment. You give them revelation that holiness should come before their pleasures sexually, Lord. I just pray for all us mamas out here that are struggling, praying for our kids. I pray you give us strength. I pray you give us the right words to say to our children, help us to talk to them and pray for them. And all the words that we have to say to them come directly through the Holy Spirit. I pray that you just you guide them in the ways of the Lord, and that you battle on our children's behalf concerning this. We just surrender all to you. Abba Father, thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.